So everybody, here we are. One more time. Gathered together once again on the cold February night. Sometimes it's a cold March night. To welcome in the season of Lent. That is what we're doing tonight, to remember the gift of the cross. And perhaps the main reason is to admit that it's only the gift of death that brings us real life. You know, I've come here tonight to agree with one another that we are nothing, right? Pretty much less than nothing, really, when we try to live our lives without allowing Christ to show us the way. Y'all try that? Word. We're here to claim our humanness. What you see is what you get. This is it. Our humility, our deep, deep need. By having a picture of the cross, the thing that saves us, smeared on our foreheads. That is Ash Wednesday. I was telling Jen, I drove through the square a little after noon today, and the Episcopal Church was out there in full force with all their regalia and their robes, and they were imposing ashes all over town. And I thought, what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing that this is something we do together. This is a truth that we all recognize, and it's a ritual that brings us together in so many ways. I think it's really interesting that on this day when we are perhaps the most honest, more than any other day, about the depth of our need for Christ, that this is the day that we openly are disobedient to it. It's really strange, especially this year, because today is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. And it's Ash Wednesday. And so people who are usually home in front of their TVs watching the news or something on Netflix and eating their supper are out. They're out on their Valentine dates. And just imagine, all over the world, couples are buying each other cards. Friends are coming together to join each other on this day. They're buying cards and candy and filling up all the Cracker Barrels and the Charlie's and the Olive Gardens and the Longhorns and a million other diners and restaurants and bars all over the world. And in those places, if you look at each table, you see the hearts, don't you? You sense the openness of the hearts, the love that they have for one another. And you'll see friends and lovers sitting across from each other. You'll see their journeys. You can almost see it in their faces, their stories, the sweetness that living life can bring that we remember particularly on Valentine's Day. Jim and I went to Cracker Barrel for lunch today. We went to Rome to pick up our beautiful new chairs. And we stopped at Cracker Barrel on the way home for lunch. And usually Cracker Barrel was pretty empty that time of the day on the weekend. And it was packed. It was packed with all these lovely men escorting their wives to sit down. And they were all having a wonderful, wonderful time. But if you keep on looking on this Ash Wednesday Valentine Day, you'll also see the crosses. If you look for them. Not on everyone, but on a few. The smudges of ash on the foreheads, the recognition that we are ashes, that we are dust. And when you see these crosses, you will see people seemingly doing the very thing that Jesus told us not to do, right? The thing that Bev read to us just a few minutes ago. Jesus said, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. And y'all, a big old black cross right smack in the dab of your forehead is hard to not see, isn't it? It's hard to miss. But it's okay. It's okay because on this day, we don't want to miss anything. We need to be reminded. We need to see. And to see the hearts and the cross is all mixed up, must make God smile. Because what Jesus was telling us was not so much about the danger of looking like a show-off as we brag about our faith by praying on the street corner or you know, acting holier than thou. He was telling us more of a reminder that the real work of being a Christian takes place not on the outside, but it takes place in the heart. See, Lent is the season when we know that Easter's coming, right? We know that it's coming, but we gotta wait for it. We're gonna have Easter lilies in here one of these days, y'all. It's gonna be white and shiny and beautiful, but not today. It's not time. We have to wait. And in the waiting, it's the season of the church that we intentionally turn our hearts towards God. Not just for an hour on Sunday morning, but for 40 days. And to help us on the journey, I want to remind you that each of you got a little devotional booklet, The Sanctuary for Lent, for this year. I hope that you will use it as a devotional, as a reminder of what it is that we're doing during this season of Lent, and that you will really put this to good use. Keep it on your kitchen table or something so you won't miss it, so you can just pick it up every day and read it. And when you read the first entry, which is for Ash Wednesday, on that very first page, you're going to find Joel. You're going to find the text that Daryl read for us earlier. And in that scripture, God says that to know Him, to really know Him, we have to change our hearts, not our clothes. Let's admit it. I mean, one is a heck of a lot easier than the other, right? Anybody can go in and change their clothes real quick, but to change our hearts, that's a little different. And even the ashes that are smudged on our foreheads, they might feel a little weird, they might be a little strange, but they're an outward thing. They change our outward appearance, like a new haircut or a facelift or a new outfit line. But listen, what Jesus is saying is that the ashes mean nothing, the clothes mean nothing, if we are not open to inward change. And that's something that we are responsible for. That's something that we can sort of regulate how open we are to the love and the power and the presence of God in our lives. Those ashes that are going on your forehead, they're pointless. They're going to be pointless if you go out the door and just wipe them off and don't think about them again. They mean nothing if our hearts are not willing to grow. And hearts do grow. You know that, can't teach an old dog new tricks. We don't get to use that one. That's God's purpose for us, is it not? That's the purpose of our Christian journey, for our hearts to grow. It's the way God made us, with this extra room, you know, in us to grow and know Him better and become more and more like Christ. Growing hearts is what God is all about. You remember what happened to the Grinch, then? When he was on his way back up the mountain, remember? When he had so cunningly stolen all the toys and all the Christmas of the Who's and Whoville. He's going up the mountain with it. He said, I've got it. I've taken care of it now. But somehow the Grinch lets his guard down just a little bit. Somehow he really stops and listens and pays attention to the Christmas love of the Who's and Whoville. He had their stuff. He had all their stuff. They had each other. And when he listened to their joy, you remember what happened. His tiny little heart grew three sizes that day. It's one of my favorite sermon illustrations. I love the Grinch. Because what happened to the Grinch didn't come easy. You know, in the cartoon, his heart just got like that. But it wasn't easy. Dr. Seuss told us that he pondered. And he pondered, he's standing there with his feet in the snow, and the dog is hanging from the sled. And he ponders, and he thinks, and he thinks, and he puzzled, and he puzzled, till his puzzler was sore. Then, we are told, the Grinch thought something he hadn't before. Y'all, I think on this Ash Wednesday, this first day of Lent, we are reminded to puzzle over something that we don't like to puzzle over, that we don't like to think about. And that's death. And like I tell you, every year the statistic always stays the same. There is one death per person. Ashes to ashes. Dust to dust. I have read three different times this last week this same fact that I did not know. So if I read it three times, I figure that God's telling me that I need to share it with someone. So you are the ones that I've shared it with. Did you know that scientists say that we are made of stardust? Isn't that lovely? That just pleases me so much. The iron in our blood, the calcium in our bones, the chlorine in our skin were forged in the furnaces of ancient stars whose explosions scattered the elements across the galaxy, which soon became the dust of this beautiful earth. We are fashioned from the minerals, bones, stone, and mountain, which in turn are fashioned from stardust. From stardust to stardust. It makes death a little less enemy, doesn't it? And a little more friendly. St. Francis of Assisi called death Sister Death. And he encouraged us to walk with her hand in hand every day. To never be afraid of her. Now, the reason I'm telling you these things tonight is that I'm discovering that the older that I become, the less that death has a hold on me. The less I see death as really being something to fear. As a matter of fact, when we walk with death, when death becomes a companion along each step, it can change the way we live. It can change our living and our loving clarity and focus. It can cause us to cherish moments more deeply. It can help us to let go of what burdens us. Sister Death invites us into what is most essential in our lives. So Ash Wednesday is here to remind us of what we always know but rarely acknowledge. We're stardust. And to stardust, we will return. We are mortal. We are God's beloved stardust. And now we are not going to be here forever. In her poem, Otherwise, Jane Kenyon captured the spirit of what Sister Death and Ash Wednesday want to teach us. It goes like this. I got out of bed on two strong legs. It might have been otherwise. I ate cereal, sweet milk, ripe, flawless peach. It might have been otherwise. I took the dog uphill to the birch wood. All morning I did the work I love. At noon I lay down with my mate. It might have been otherwise. We ate dinner together at the table with silver candlesticks. It might have been otherwise. I slept in a bed in a room with paintings on the walls and planned another day just like this day. But one day, I know it will be otherwise. So, y'all, let's wake up. Let's slow down before it is otherwise. Let's listen more closely to God's voice in the silence. I mean, this will be a moment that changes your life. One day, things will be otherwise. We're dust, but we are beloved stardust, given love and blessing an opportunity to enjoy. So let's pay attention to our fragile, fragile, wonderful, beautiful, incredible lives before we are called home. Let us walk without fear with Sister Death at our side. And even in that walk, let us squeeze our loved ones, let us listen to God, and let our hearts grow at least three sizes, maybe more and more and more before we are called home, where otherwise is in God's loving presence. It's true. We're not spared then. But in Christ, the power of death has been defeated. In Christ, the grip of sin has been loosed, and we've become like seeds that are about to transform. Like Paul said, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. We're thinking about having Ruth Odom's service here on Friday. And I was thinking, when I was thinking about this verse, she's not here with us anymore, but the seeds that Paul talks about, y'all told me that she was always willing to sing in the choir. And even though she hated it, the piano player was out, she would play. She made the communion bread and provided the elements for communion every communion Sunday. Those are the things that even though she's gone, they're not gone anywhere. They live, they change us, they grow our hearts, and they grow her heart. So that's what I encourage you to remember, that it's life to life, death to death, like seeds, like soil, like stars. We're yours, O God, and all is well. And all God's people sit. Amen. Amen. And amen.